We'll let you in on a little secret. Are you ready for a secret? We like secrets, don't we? This is the highlight of your week right now. Whether you know it or not, I just told you. So now you know. Praise God. You say, what is he talking about? Well, you're about to get mail from heaven. Hallelujah. You know, I remember when I went to, when I was younger, I went to Miracle Mountain camp. It's a Christian camp. I was a young boy. And, you know, you'd look forward to mail time. It was exciting. Except for me when my grandma wrote me and Michael looked like Michelle. And they called out Michelle Anderson and nobody was moving. And there was like hundreds of kids in there. Michelle Anderson. And they said, oh, wait a minute. And then they read the address. Maybe it's Michael. And I walked up red-faced. I've already been accused many times with my long eyelashes of wearing mascara. But I don't. I promise you, I don't wear mascara. I'm not. It's not Michelle, it's Michael. Praise God. Well, anyways, we're ready this morning, aren't we? I am excited about what God's going to speak to us today. We're starting a new series today, and I am thrilled about this because it has the opportunity, the potential to change your whole life. It's changed my life and countless other people's lives learning this information, and it's something we need to get down on the inside of us because it'll solve a whole lot of problems. But before we get into the Word this morning, let's pray. Father, we love you and glorify you. We magnify you and praise you. Father, we are grateful to be in your house. Father, gathered around your Word, Father, with such precious people. Father, I count this a great honor to stand up here and to be able to speak the Word of God to such precious children of yours. Father, help me this morning. Father, I am well aware of who I am. Father, you are the vine. I'm just a branch. Apart from the vine, I can do nothing. So, Lord, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that I would speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And, Lord, just like the psalmist of old wrote, he said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Father, that is my heart's cry, to speak words from heaven, hitting bullseyes in people's hearts. Father, I thank you something supernatural will take place here this morning. And that will be me saying something that will be pertinent to every single person's life here. It'll be as if I'm talking directly to them one-on-one. And Father, it will be a sign unto them that you are real. It'll be another sign unto them that you love them and care about them so much to speak to them. And thirdly, it'll be a sign unto them that this is a place that they can hear from you and come and be blessed and be changed. And so, Father, for that, we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. One time at Christmas, Grandma did not have good writing. And when I was little, I'm still excited to open presents, just so you know. And Grandma filled out one that I thought said Michael, and I grabbed it. And of course, Grandma did this stupid thing. If you do it in your home, I'm sorry. I think it's dumb. Makes me mad when people have to open one at a time and everybody watch you. Oh, I hear some grumbling out there. I'm stepping on toes already. And they made you, and I opened it up. Well, that thing did not say Michael on it. It said Marilyn, which was my aunt. I thought it said Michael. And there was a beautiful pink sweater. Now, I don't have anything against pink, but when you're a little kid, a hall pink sweater, that's not going to go too well. And so anyways, that's another time I got embarrassed with Grandma's handwriting and my name being wrong. So, oh man, I don't know why we're bringing all that up today, but it's going to be an interesting service, I guess. Amen. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. It's important to know what this verse is offering us. This will be our key scripture, our golden text, as Brother Hagin would say, who's a minister I followed. For those of you that don't know, he's gone to home be with Jesus. But it's going to be our golden text for the series. And what that means is it's going to be where we're going to leap from every time we get together. I don't know how long this series will be, but it will be an extended series. You don't want to miss. I'll tell you, this will change your life. But it's important to see what this verse is offering here. In verse 6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. God as your father, the same way that I as a dad to my children, is endeavoring to help you in life. He wants to see every area of your life thriving to its fullest potential. For those of you that have children, you know that's the truth for your own kids. You want to see them succeeding and thriving in every area of life. But it's important to recognize that there's always a God-word side and a man-word side. And what I mean by that is, even though God is endeavoring to move upon your life, to invade every area of your life, it's not something that will happen automatically. It won't automatically come to pass like a ripe piece of fruit that would fall off a tree into your lap. No, we have a part to play. But notice this, and I guess I would say it this way. If you're going to get what God has said, you have to play by His rules. If you showed up in a basketball game and tried to use soccer rules, there'd be a problem. Well, it's the same way when God puts forth things in His Word for us to be blessed, we got to follow the path and be willing to do what He said. What am I saying? We need to be skillful with what the Word of God is telling us to do. Amen? And notice what this verse is offering in verse 6. He said, "In all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path." God is inviting you in Proverbs 3 and verse 6 that every area of life, all your affairs of life, He says, in all your ways, you could say it this way, in your relationships, in jobs, in things you do with your money, in how you parent, praise God, in what to do with your body and how to take care of your body. He says, in all your ways, if you acknowledge me, I will direct your paths. That's awesome. Hallelujah. And so He's given you the opportunity to be blessed in every arena of life. Now, here's what I want you to see, because you might say, well, do I want God directing my life in all areas? Well, go with me real quick to 3 John. There's only one chapter in 3 John, in verse 2. Again, we're just laying some foundation here for where we're going to go. But God is endeavoring in every area of your life, child raising, financially, jobs, physical, relationships, emotional, mental, all these areas, God is saying, if you'll acknowledge me, I'll direct your paths. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things." Now, it's important to understand that John was the human writer of this verse, but John didn't just sit around and think, you know what, I'd like to add a third book of my books here, and after I had 1st and 2nd John, I want to add a third, and you know what, verse 2, I want to tell people what my wishes are. We don't care what John's wishes are. We don't care what John's opinions are, but the Bible says this, that all Scripture was given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So when John writes, "Beloved, I wish above all things," he's only writing that because that's what the Holy Ghost directed him to write. John's not here telling us his opinions or his ideas. He's writing this because the Holy Ghost has prompted him to do so. So when it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things," that's God saying through John, "Children of God, I wish above all things." So we can find out God's opinions. We can find out what God's desires are or God's will. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper." That's good news. Amen. "Prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." So God is saying through John, I want my children to prosper and be in health. And you say, uh-oh, did I enter into one of those wealth and health churches? Yes, you did. Is he one of those prosperity ministers? Yes, I am. Why? Because God is a prosperity God. God is a healing God. Now, yes, you can get into excess and get in the ditch, but overall, God wants his children taken care of. Don't you want your children taken care of? Is it a ridiculous notion to think that our Heavenly Father, who already demonstrated his love for us by sending Jesus, that he would actually want us provided for and healthy? Is that so ridiculous to wrap our mind around? I mean, that's the least I want for my kids, to walk in blessing, praise God. So when he says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, he's saying my will, or what I would have for you, would be that you would prosper and be in health. So when he says, in all your ways acknowledge me and I will direct, direction means he gives direction that you might have to turn about course or go a different way. When he says, I will direct your paths, we know that we can trust that if we acknowledge him in anything, the path that he's going to direct us on will only be what he wants. And he tells us very clearly in this verse, this is what I want for you.
Amen.
So in all our ways, if we will acknowledge him, ladies and gentlemen, the path that we get directed to will only lead to prosperity and something better for us.
Hallelujah.
There is no reason at all why a Christian ought to struggle. Either he is or he isn't. Either he's a liar or he's not. He said, if you'll acknowledge me in all your ways, I'll direct your paths. So if you say, well, it's really impossible to say that Christians shouldn't struggle. No, the word says if we will acknowledge him in the ways that we struggle, learn to hear from him, learn how to make those adjustments. He said he'd direct our paths, and the paths will always be directed towards health, prosperity, and blessing towards you. Always. Amen. Doesn't mean you won't have tests and trials, but it does mean you won't wallow around in defeat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, when he says, I will direct your paths, you know, I used to have, well, my dad did, and I went with him, season tickets to the Bills from 1987 to 1996. And, you know, after the games, you know, there'd be a mad rush to get out to the parking lot and get out. And oftentimes you'd have to cross a street. I can't remember the street names and that, but it would be busy, and you know you'd have a police officer out there with a whistle or you know, whatever, directing traffic. And they would be telling people, stop, don't walk this way, don't walk this way, or don't, cars come. And you know, when people would allow the director to direct them, things went smoothly.
Right. Yeah.
It was when the police officer would tell the traffic, you stop, and the pedestrians can walk, that the pedestrians would start walking and somebody would try to go, that's when you have problems. It's the same way with Christians. When they let the director direct them, things go smoothly.
Amen.
It's when people start doing things their own way is when they get in trouble.
Amen.
Amen. Go to Psalms 23. I want to show you something. Now, what I'm about to share with you, there's one thing that I saw last night as I was meditating in the Word. And it's food for thought for sure, but I've never seen it this way before. But Psalm 23, of course, is the, we put this on doilies, we put this on blankets, we put this on, you know, plaques and different knickknacks and stuff. But there's some powerful things in Psalm 23.
Amen.
Don't let the familiarity of Psalm 23 rob you from the victory that Psalms 23 can bring you. Amen. Because we can quote it and we say it and we just kind of casually say it. But when you look at it, wow, there's some rich things in here. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That word want in the Hebrew is the word lack. Now notice this. Remember, he said, I will be your director. Well, let's see what kind of a director is. David said, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Not burnt over brown ones that's barren of life. No, green pastures. That's where God makes you lay down. He leads, almost hawked a loogie on the front row there. I apologize for that. That stuff happens. You know, you get excited. Things just happen. He says, he leadeth, or that sounds like directs me. He leadeth me besides the tumultuous, chaotic, crisis-filled waters. No. When God's allowed to lead you, he leads you by the still waters.
Hallelujah.
He restores my soul. He leadeth, here we go again. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now notice, this is what jumped out to me, and you take it as you will, and it's food for thought. Every time David said something about where God was leading him, it led him to good things. But then look at number 4. Yea, though I walk. See that there? Jumped out to me like it never did before. He had mentioned all these places that God was leading him and it went to good places, but when David took God out of the equation and said, when I start doing the walking, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Wow.
Never saw it like that before. Ask God about it and see what that has anything to do with it. But anyway, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil. Thank God, even when we do mess up, he's still with us. He said, for you are with me, the rod and your staff comfort me. Verse 5. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Praise God.
Amen. But that's God starting out being told that he is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He leads. He guides. Hallelujah. So the Lord is saying to us, go back to Proverbs 3 and verse 6. Proverbs 3 and verse 6. Hallelujah. He says, in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. Well, we know what the paths are now. Health, prosperity, still waters, green pastures, righteousness, provision, cup runneth over. Praise God. Why do people struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle? Because they don't do it God's way. And you cannot say you're doing it God's way, because God's way is righteousness, green pastures, still waters, prosperity, health, peace, joy, victory, abundant, stinking life.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Now, this should come as good news to people. Because if there are areas in our lives that we're constantly spinning our tires and going backwards on and struggling, chaos after chaos, crisis after crisis, constantly being put down, if you'll finally get over yourself and start doing it his way and asking him and truly with a pure heart seeking him on these things about relationships, about your children, about your finances, about the sickness in your body, and actually find out, Lord, I'm acknowledging you. I'm taking you at your word. You invited me to acknowledge you. I'm here to acknowledge you. Now direct my paths, Father, and he will. And those paths will always direct you or lead you to the right place.
Amen.
Amen. So go to verse 5 of Proverbs 3. So to get to our paths being directed, which is awesome because he's directing us to the right place, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen. So that's what we're going to be looking at. But then he goes on to say this, lean not on your own understanding. Ladies and gentlemen, don't take this the wrong way. God is saying it. He might say it a little bit nicer than me, but I'm not as nice as him. That's why we're glad. I'm trying, but I'm just not as nice as God. He's saying, and in any way you can say it, he's saying, I know more than you. Stop thinking you're smarter than me. He's saying, stop doing it your own way and relying on your own understanding. He's saying, ladies and gentlemen, wake up. Don't you know I'm God and you're not? That's what he's saying in those verses. Trust in me with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. Just so you know, the Bible says in Isaiah 55, in case you needed a scripture on it, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours and my ways better than yours. Praise God. He's wonderful. God is the most compassionate, most intelligent, most the wisest being, most loving being there ever was.
Amen.
It would do us good to stop thinking our own ways, doing it our own ways, and find out what he says about it. Amen. You don't think God can fix your body? You don't think he has the answer? You don't think God can turn that financial situation around? You don't think God can turn that thing that seemingly looks impossible? You don't think he knows the path to get out of that thing? Of course he does. He's God.
Amen.
The Bible says nothing is too hard for him.
That's right.
That when man says it's impossible, God says, that's my realm. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. So we want to get it over into his hands. But he says this now. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you'll do that, it will lead to your paths being directed. Now, we need to see, what does he mean by trust him with all our heart? Well, thank God, the Bible, the New Testament, sheds light. See, the New Testament is hidden in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is fully revealed in the New Testament. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, go to me to Romans 8 and verse 14. What does he mean, trust in him with all his heart? Now remember, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct. So God's goal is to direct you. He wants to take you. See, God knows the path he has for you is filled with blessing. He just has to get you to cooperate with it. That's the problem. We're human, and we get in the way, and we're stubborn, and sometimes we act like donkeys, and we just mess things up. But God's saying, listen, if you'll do it my way, it'll be a lot easier. So anyways, in verse 14, Romans 8, 14, he says, for as many as are led. Well, that word led and that word direct and that word lead, they're all kind of the same. That God can lead you, and he says, I want to direct your paths. I want to lead you a certain place. So the New Testament says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Bible says the way that God is going to direct you and the way God is going to lead you where? Righteousness, green pastures, still waters, blessing, peace, prosperity. The way that God does it is he says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Now, how does the Spirit of God lead? Well, it tells us in verse 16. The Spirit, it should say himself, he's not an it, God's not an it, Jesus isn't an it, and the Holy Ghost isn't an it. The Spirit himself, now notice this, bears witness with our spirit. So how does God lead by his Spirit? He says that the Spirit of God will talk to our spirit and tell us what it needs to know. So this is what you have to understand now. He said, trust in me with all your heart. And then he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit. So we need to get a location. Go to Proverbs 20 and verse 27. So he says, the Spirit is how we're led, how we're guided. You say, how do I get on God's paths? How do I get on God's plan? Well, he told you, as many as are led by the Spirit. The way he's leading is by the Spirit. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. And then we find out that the Spirit of God will talk to our spirit. That's how we're led. Proverbs 20 verse 27 says, the Spirit of man. Did you know you're a spirit, ladies and gentlemen? We'll look at more of that probably next week. But you are a spirit. Your body's just the earth suit your spirit lives in. It says that the Spirit of man, now notice this, is the candle of the Lord. Well, back then, you know, they didn't have electricity and flashlights. They used candles, right? I used to love when I was a little kid when the power would go out. There was always something neat about candles, lighting a candle. You know, you look forward to that. Well, what did the candle do? It lit up your path, right? So you didn't stumble. You didn't run into walls. You didn't bump into doors or hurt yourself or trip over toys or anything or the dog or whatever, the candle. Well, God is saying the Spirit of man is the candle. He's saying the way I direct and the way I lead is through the Spirit. Okay, hallelujah. Now stay with me here. Stay with me. He says, searching all the inward. Everybody say inward. Inward parts of the belly. Talking about your gut region, that gut instinct, that knowing on the inside. He says, your spirit dwells on the inside of you. He says, that is the candle. That is the flashlight. That is the spotlight of how I'm going to lead you. For as many as are led. Led where? Onto God's path. Green pastures. How are they led? By the Spirit. Where's the Spirit? Inward parts of the belly. Amen. So ladies and gentlemen, my question is, if God's leading on the inward man, why are people looking to the outside for their answers and their help?
Yeah, that's good.
He didn't say the answer was found in your head. In fact, he said, don't lean on what your head says.
Right.
He said, the answer's not found in your flesh or your emotions. He said, the answer's not found on the internet. The answer's not found. Now, I'm not talking about basic things and things you can find out, ask questions. I'm talking about things of life that you're coming up to impossibilities. They're not found in pros and cons lists. Well, they're not found that way. They're found by how God's leading. If you want the most, the smartest, most intelligent, most loving, compassionate, forced to be directed to all your ways, you're going to have to do it God's way. But he says, the way I'm doing it is in here. In here, in here. Now, go with me to John 14 and verse 15. John 14 and verse 15. So God is saying, I lead by the Spirit. Now, most people, and I'm just telling you it's the truth, most people, now, when I say this, don't let it trip you up because, you know, you might hear someone say, Well, there's only a handful of people that have ever climbed Mount Everest. And you hear that and you think, well, that's because it's so hard. That's because it's so impossible and it's a rare thing to do. So when I say that, this isn't a hard thing to do. Following God is simple if you can get past yourself. But very few people ever get to a place where they walk through this life and are actually guided and directed by God. Because they look to answers in emotions, they look to answers in feelings, they look to answers in opinions of man, they look to answers in outward things and fleshly things and what they think and their education they lean on, and they very rarely tap in to the treasure that God has given us that will enable us in every area of life to walk in the highest and best that He has for us. But it doesn't mean it's because it's impossible. It's because people just have failed to do it. God makes it simple for people so idiots like myself can follow it. But also, He just loves and wants to make it available to everybody. Amen? Hallelujah. John 14 and verse 15 says this. So remember, He says, if you'll acknowledge me in all your ways, I'll direct your paths to good things. But you got to trust me with your heart. Why did He say your heart? Because that's where your spirit is. What's the spirit of man? The candle of the Lord. That's why He's saying, I'm going to lead you by the candle. You got to trust in your heart, inward parts of the belly. So John 14 and verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So it's saying that you have to be born again. You have to accept Jesus. That word born again, don't get tripped up on that word if you're newer to the things of God. That just means you believe in Jesus and you accept Him. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world can't receive the Holy Ghost because it sees Him not. Sees not an it. Neither does it know Him. But you know Him. Now notice this. For He dwelleth with you. Now get this. And shall be in you. Amen. It's important that you know this, because once you understand where the location of the answers come from, that's where you'll go for the answers. Amen. It's not found in your head. It's not found in your flesh, in your emotions, and in your feelings. It's found in your heart. And He says that the Spirit of God, now remember, everybody in the world, born again or not born again, is a spirit. The minute you were conceived, you became a spirit being. You became an eternal being. The minute you were conceived, praise God. And it says that the Spirit of truth will come in and dwell inside the believer. So when you got born again, for myself, January 10th, 2002, I accepted Jesus. So not only did I have a spirit on the inward parts of the belly, in the center of a man, but the Bible says someone came in and took up residency with me. The Spirit of God, or the Holy Ghost, that the Bible says about Him, came and lives on the inside of me. Said that He'll be with me and shall be in me, praise God, the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Praise God. Now go with me to John 16 and verse 7. Now I'm going to spiritually go around and tug on everybody's light bulb chain. If your light bulb doesn't go off here. Because if your light bulb needs to go off, and I'll know if it goes off or not by my heart. I'll know if it fully goes off. You know, sometimes it can be dim. Sometimes it can stay off. And sometimes it's burning bright. But it says in John 16, 7, He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now notice this. He said, it is expedient. That word expedient means advantageous or profitable. Jesus is telling the disciples, he about wigs them out here. He says, it is expedient for you that I go away. He's talking about after His death, burial, and resurrection, His ascension into heaven, and how they would not have Him around anymore. Now He gets done telling them, He says, guys, it's better for you that I leave, and you can understand how that would trip them up. Because there they were with Him for 3.5 years, seeing all the miracles, signs, and wonders that He did. Whenever anybody in their family was sick, He would lay hands on them. Whenever they would come up against a problem, Jesus would have the answer. Whenever provision was needed, Jesus had a miracle ready to be done. But now He's saying, it's better for you that I leave. Well, He wouldn't lie to us. Right. Praise God. He said, for if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. So He said, if I leave, I'll send the Comforter. Well, remember who the Comforter is? The Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, drop down to verse 13. How be it when He, the Spirit of truth is come, he will what? Guide. What did God say? Trust in me with all your heart. Well, what is your heart? Your spirit man. Well, he said, trust in me with all your heart and I will direct your paths. Well, now the Bible says that the Spirit of truth will come. He will guide you into all truth. How will that happen? Remember what I said? The Spirit of God bears witness or talks to our spirit. He says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Well, just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost is in tune and has his ear turned towards heaven, towards the Father. What does that mean? Father, you said to acknowledge you in all our ways. Okay, I X, Y, and Z. I acknowledge you with whatever. Now, you said you'd direct my path. How are you going to direct my path? God's going to relay the information to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is then going to bear witness to your spirit and give you the answer, which is going to guide and direct you to the paths and the plans that God has for you. Praise. Amen. That's how it works. He says, I will show you things to come. My God, a fortune teller living on the inside of us. No wonder it was profitable. Yeah. Because, see, when Jesus was around, they needed him right there in being physically with them. They don't need that anymore. He says, I'm going to put a fortune teller on the inside of you. How profitable would it be for your life to know things are going to happen before they happen? Amen. To know what to do before it even comes up. To not be fooled by outward appearances and cunning and deceiving words and manipulation of different things, but to know because the Holy Ghost speaks truth to you. Amen. That's profitable. You can waste a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of money not following the Holy Ghost. So he says, I'll show you things to come. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, he hears it from the Father and relays it to us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, go to 1 John 5 and verse 7. So the Bible says that the Holy Ghost, at first Abby was scared of this Holy Ghost business. She didn't know the Holy Ghost was good. She would say, I don't want that Holy Ghost. I don't want that Holy Ghost. Oh, baby, you do. It's a good ghost. You want that Holy Ghost? Oh, absolutely, he's a good ghost. We want that Holy Ghost business. Praise the Lord. As 1 John 5 and verse 7. Now remember, God says, I want to direct your paths. How's he going to do it? By speaking, the Holy Spirit hearing from God, then speaking to your spirit. But this is what I want you to see, ladies and gentlemen. Now you tell me, if I'm being an arrogant, pompous preacher, by saying we ought not to be struggling in every area of your life, when if I read this verse. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, that's the one we pray to. The Word, now you say, what's the Word? Well, the Word is Jesus. He calls him the Word here. But see, John already called Jesus the Word in John chapter 1. He said, and the Word dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is called the Word. She said, there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, now notice this, and the Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity. But this is what I want you to see. And these three, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, are one. What's he saying? They're equal. Now let me start tugging some chains here because the light bulb did not go off, but we're going to set it off right now. Ladies and gentlemen, are you aware that you have God inside of you.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost is one with the Father.
Amen.
He's equal to the Father. He's not something lesser.
That's right.
He's equal.
Hallelujah.
Do you realize you have God? You don't, because you'd be happier right now.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
You'd be happier. Because that financial problem is not a financial problem anymore when you know you got God on the inside of you.
Amen.
That physical problem you can't figure out is not a problem anymore that you got God on the inside of you. That impossible situation with your finances, with your family, it's not impossible with God on the inside of you.
Amen.
But people aren't aware of it. And they grumble, and they mumble, and they gripe and complain. I can't do it, it's too hard. And the whole time, the living God had taken up residency, the one that the Bible says there's nothing too hard for, There's nothing impossible. The one that the Bible says is a divine healer, is a divine provider, is a protector, dwells on the inside of you.
Praise God.
Praise God is right. But are you aware? Back in the 80s, Nintendo came out with a game console, the regular Nintendo with regular the original Mario Brothers, and there was games, and they're coming out with it again. It's kind of redoing it, revamping some things. The reason I bring this up is I saw a story. There is a video game called Stadium Events, one of the original games for Nintendo. And you could buy this game when it came out for, $15 to $30 is probably what they were selling it for. And if you have one of those games that are still in the package, people are getting tens of thousands of dollars for a video game. Well, this one story I saw of a lady, she went into a store that sold movies and video games or a pawn shop or something, a knick-knack store, whatever. And she saw sitting behind the clerk on the shelf this video game, and it was sold for just a few dollars, Stadium Events, in its original packaging. And she saw it, and she had remembered reading a story about that game and it being worth crazy amounts to collectors, especially if you have it in the package, the original packaging. And so she saw that. It caught her attention, so she went out of the store real quick, and she called somebody that she knew would know. And while she was calling, she was also on her smartphone Googling this game to see if it was one, and sure enough, it was. Well, she couldn't get back in there fast enough, and she bought that game, and she ended up selling that game for almost 40-some thousand dollars. Now, what's my point? Here's my point. That winning lottery ticket was sitting behind that clerk the whole time. Everybody that would come in and cash out and look beyond and past that person saw that game sitting there. One person benefited from the game. The other people didn't benefit from the game. Why? One was aware. The others weren't aware. How can God be in every single Christian? God. The one who never fails, never has an off day, never struggles, never lacks, never's off his game. How can God, that same God, who can part Red Sea, shut the mouths of lions, quench the fiery flames, raise Jesus from the dead, how can that same God be in every Christian, yet some thrive? And it's constant victory after victory, prosperity and health and joy and happiness and success. And some Christians, with the same God inside them, crisis after crisis, chaos after chaos, struggle after struggle, poverty after poverty, depression after depression, grumble after grumble, mumble after mumble. Well, how is that possible? It's not God's fault. It wasn't the game's fault that nobody knew about the game. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says we have a treasure in earthen vessels.
Yes. Amen.
But unfortunately, it's buried treasure for a lot of Christians, and they have no idea what's on the inside of them. How? Because the way they talk, the way they live, they're outward looking here, out here, and the answer was inside them the whole time. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the Bible says, if you'll acknowledge me in all your ways and trust your heart, I will direct your paths. Direct your paths how? From depression to joy, from poverty to prosperity, from sickness to health, from all these things that are negative, that are causing you to struggle, that for years you've been spinning your wheels. Why don't you stop and find out what headquarters is saying about that? Because God certainly doesn't want you to keep spinning your wheels. God certainly doesn't want you to keep struggling. Do you want your kids to keep struggling? I don't. But you could keep looking if you want to in the wrong places. In your thoughts and what you think and Googling things and getting opinions and calling a bunch of people for answers. When the answer the whole time, instead of looking outward, we ought to have been looking in.
Amen.
You ever, I'm almost done here. You ever lost something that, You were convinced you knew where it was, but you can't find it? Well, get over being convinced you know where it was. If you knew where it was, it wouldn't be lost. But you know, we do it, right? How many of you have ever tore a cupboard up or a drawer up or the console of your car because you know it's in there, and you go back 4, 5, 6 times looking for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you know, but no, you don't know. That's why it's lost. You can keep looking all you want in the wrong places, and you're going to keep coming up empty. And that's what Christians are doing. All the time, everything they need to know, everything financially. I've seen this message transform people's finances. Do you think that a Christian should ever get in a bad business deal with this information? No. Do you think a Christian should ever get mixed up in a wrong investment? I'm saying if they do it God's way and don't get their human way, no. Do you think a Christian should ever get involved in a relationship that... No. They got God on the inside. Well, they were so pretty and so nice at first. Yeah, but why didn't you ask God? Because he would have told you they're going to turn into...
That's right. That's right.
Which one's the bad one? Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde? Which one's the bad one? They're going to turn into a monster down the road here. Well, the Holy Ghost could have told you that and saved you a whole lot of time.
Oh, that's so good.
It's the truth.
Amen.
Well, this car sure seemed to run good, but turned into a lemon. Don't you think God knew it was a lemon before you bought it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't you think? But see, we don't acknowledge him in all ways. And I'm not telling you... Cinnamon Toast Crunch or Frosted Flakes? I'm talking about the affairs of life. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. We're talking about the issues of life here, folks. Important things. Not what shoes am I going to wear or what breakfast am I going to eat this morning. We're not talking about getting silly and getting into a ditch on things. We're talking about the affairs of life, all these serious things, your money, your health, your children, your relationships, your business, all the affairs of life. The answer is there.
Yes. Amen.
It's sitting on the shelf waiting for somebody to cash in the golden ticket.
Wow. Good word.
That God has for them. I've seen this transform finances. I've seen this transform lives. People that actually got a hold of this and said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. If God has the answers, I'm going to finally let the director direct me. I'm going to hear what he has to say. I'm going to hear what he has to say, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You ought to not struggle in your finances for an extended period of time over and over and over again. Things not get better. That ought not be that way.
It
ought not be that way. Your business ought to not struggle over and over and over, year after year. God has the answer if you listen.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't get mad at me, because that's just the messenger said. The messenger's just telling you what God said, that I'll direct your paths in all your ways. Yeah. Praise God.
Praise God.
This ought to be worthy of rejoicing over.
Yeah. Amen.
What did I just tell you today? Now, this is what's going to be crazy. Is I tell you today, this series is going to teach you how to be skillful in hearing the voice of God, which is so vital and important for you to walk out the abundant, blessed life for your life. So guess what that means? You have a responsibility to show up and hear the word. What you do with it is up to you. The vital information will be shared. Some people will grab it and run with it, and their lives will change. Some people will go, pachoo! Some people will, the minorest and smallest things will stop you from showing up next week in this series. And God's given you vital information to change your whole world. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we praise you,
and
magnify you. Come on and glorify him, folks. We honor and bless you. We praise your holy name. Oh, Father, we repent from doing it our way. We repent from doing it our way. You have the answers, Father. We ought not to be struggling year after year. We ought to get better year after year. Why? Because you're a God that takes us from glory to glory. So, Father, we ask for forgiveness for doing it our own way when all the time we had the knowledge and the information on the inside. So, great director, great leader, take us to where we need to go. We'll obey and we'll hear and listen. We know you have the answers, Father. We bless you and love you and praise you this morning. Folks, let's just glorify him. Let's thank him. You know, if Grandma made you a nice meal, I would hope after you ate it, you would say thank you. Well, God has provided a wonderful spiritual meal here this morning. Begin right now to thank him for what he's provided for you. We ought to not be ungrateful children. Father, thank you. This stuff can change our world if we'll do it. Praise God. Either you're real or you're not, Father. We bless you and honor you and thank you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. See, when I ask myself that question, the answer is a 100% resounding yes, I would go to heaven. Why do I know that? Because the Word of God says, if I believe that Jesus died on the cross, if I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and if I ask Him into my life, the Bible says He'll save me. What does that mean? He said, you won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. It has nothing to do with how good or how bad you are. It has nothing to do with how much or how little church you go to. It has nothing to do with how much money you've given or how cheap you've been. It has everything to do with what you do with Jesus. He said in Romans 10:13, if you call on my name, you will be saved. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven, but my goodness, that sounds good. And also the Bible says that when you receive Jesus, God becomes your Father. And so if you say, Pastor, these things sound good. I want a new life. I want the opportunity for the great director and guide to come on the inside of my heart and lead me into all these good things. Well, if you can say, I do believe that Jesus died and rose again, you are qualified. You're a candidate for salvation. The only thing you have left to do is to invite Him in. Jesus is not the SWAT team. He doesn't bust down the door. He asks for an invite. And then when you invite Him, He gladly comes in. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I won't embarrass you. I won't have you stand up. I won't have you come forward. I won't have you say anything on your own. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus here this morning for the first time with nobody looking around, would you raise your hand high in the air? Anybody, I see that hand, you can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Praise God. Anybody else want to receive Jesus for the very first time? Don't let this moment pass you by. You don't have to come back here. You don't have to join this church. Hallelujah. You just have to believe in Jesus. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Him? Would you lift your hand high in the air? I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. Anybody else before we close? Don't let eternity pass you by. It's such a simple and free gift. Religion tells you it's hard. See, the churches I grew up in and the religion I grew up in told me I had to jump through a million religious hoops to get God to love me. It's not true. He already loved me by sending me Jesus. So real quick, again, if you haven't raised your hand, and you should have, and you want to get involved in this prayer, if you want to receive Jesus, lift your hand high in the air if you've never done that before. Anybody else in this service want to receive the Lord? Father, we had a few hands, so thankful. Thank you for your boldness. Father, you said if we would confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that you raised Him from the dead, we'd be saved. So Father, there's just one thing left to do. That's invite Him into our hearts. But if you raised your hand, or if you should have, I won't embarrass you. I told you I wouldn't. But we do need to invite Jesus in, and how we're going to do that is we're going to pray a prayer, but the whole church is going to pray with you. You don't have to think of the words to say, just mean them when you say them. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and if you raise your hand, repeat this after me, along with everybody else in the church. Go ahead and say this, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross for my sin.
I believe
that you rose again from the dead.
And
I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you look up here real quick? Praise God. If you prayed that for the first time, first of all, congratulations. You are now a member of the family of God. You say, can it really be that easy? Yep, that's how loving He is. Now, there is a next step. You see, you can go to heaven without church. But you cannot walk into all the blessings of God without a pastor to lead you and guide you there. That's what Jesus said in the Word. So the next step is plant yourself in a good Bible teaching church. It doesn't have to be this one. Follow your heart. Go where God's talking to you. But make sure you go where they're teaching the Bible and telling you about God's promises. Plant there, be faithful as much as you can, and do the Word and watch God change your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30. Also, we have over in the old sanctuary, if you go out these doors and go to the left and follow the hallway, the old sanctuary, we have some goodies and refreshments over there for you to be blessed with. So go partake of that. Have a great rest of the weekend. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.